You know, the art of communication is an important one. A high-ranking White House official in an interview made this reply to a question from a newsman. He said, "I'll answer that question quickly and directly. Unlike my opponent, who's fuzzy, complex, vague, waffling, equivocal, indecisive, indistinct, too sophisticated, overly complicated, unperceptible, drawn out, rambling on, and what was that question again? You know, they say that there has been a lot of progress in communication in recent years. But you know one truth that is so real is that there still needs to be attention given in the area of paying attention. That's the biggest part of communication, is being able to listen. You know, I guess that's why someone once said that one advantage of talking to yourself is you know at least somebody's listening. I also once heard about a woman who excitedly asked the teacher of a foreign language school, "How quickly can I learn French?" "Well, that depends on you," replied the teacher. "Why are you in such a rush?" "Well, we've adopted a French baby, only 6 months old," she answered, "and we want to be able to understand him when he starts to talk." So yes, communication is very important. You know, we've been talking about our relationship with God. And this morning we want to look at the importance of communicating with God. We talked last week about God communicating to us through His Word. This morning we want to talk about us communicating to God through prayer. You know, in the same way it is possible for a human father and son to communicate, it is also possible for the child of God to communicate with his Heavenly Father. There are two ways that we can communicate with our Heavenly Father. The first way, as we discussed last week, is God's holy word, the Bible. It's through God's word that He communicates His trust to us. The second way is through prayer. Prayer is how we talk to God. As our loving Heavenly Father, He really does want to hear about us because we are His child. You know, true communication has two parts to it. So if we truly want to communicate with God, we must not only allow Him to talk to us through His word, but we must also talk to Him. What a blessing to know that we can come to the Father about anything that is on our hearts. This morning I'd like to just share briefly with you a few ingredients to effective prayer. First, if you'd like to look with me to James chapter 5, verse 16. One of the most important elements in prayer is having a clean heart. In James chapter 5, verse 16, we're commanded, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." If you remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about the fact that as children of God, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a family. We are God's family through our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And here the scripture challenges us to act as loving brothers and sisters. And if there is something in our life that we are struggling with, that we are dealing with, one of the greatest advantages that we have to being part of God's family is that we can turn to a brother or a sister in Christ, and we can share with them, "Please pray for me. I am struggling with this particular issue in my life. I am dealing with this issue." Unfortunately, what the world has taught us today is that we cannot show our weaknesses because that makes us vulnerable. Especially as Christians, we always have to make sure that we look pretty and that our lives are all together and that people realize we are spiritual. You see, because as a Christian, we can't have any problems, can we? As a Christian, we're above all that. Where'd you ever hear that? There may be some who preach it, but it's not what God's word says. God's word says that even as Christians, we're going to struggle, aren't we? Even as Christians, we're going to have problems. Even as Christians, things aren't always going to be perfect in our families, in our relationships, are they? As a Christians, we struggle. Sometimes it has to do with our own sin. Sometimes it's not as a result of what we've done. But the important thing, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should have that relationship that we can come together and share with each other the struggles that we have without the fear of it becoming the topic of discussion on the phone to every other home within the family. Gossip is a terrible thing. And yet it is real in so many churches and in so many lives. But you know what the scripture is saying here is that if you're going through a struggle, we should be able to trust one another enough to be able to come to each other and to confess our sins, to confess our faults, to confess our struggles and ask for prayer. And we should then have the assurance of knowing that we will pray for one another. That if we ask for prayer, that person will be remembering us in prayer and they will support us and they will encourage us. You will hear so many times when a person is struggling, whether it be with alcohol, whether it be with drugs or whatever the case may be, that what is so vital and important is to have an accountability partner. And the same can be true in our Christian lives. If we are struggling with a particular type of a sin, we need to have an accountability partner that can come alongside of us and pray with us and encourage us and that we need to be accountable to. Because if we do not have a clean heart, our relationship with God will be greatly affected. Look with me over just a couple pages to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. We also need to have a clean relationship with those that are around us. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weakest partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." What is the scripture saying there? It's challenging here. Husbands, again, to love our wives as Christ loved the church. It's telling that if our relationship with our spouse is not what it's going to be, it will hinder our prayer life. It will hinder our relationship with God. But the same is true not only with our spouses, but with other Christians as well. If we hold a grudge, if we hold any animosity against another brother or sister in Christ, our relationship with God is going to be hindered. Our prayer life is going to be hindered. So we need to have a clean heart before God. We need to have a clean heart between ourselves. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8 says, "The prayer of the upright pleases him." Think about that. When we pray, we bring our lives before God and we confess our sins and we seek his guidance, it pleases him. Sometimes I think about God sitting up there on the throne, and what an awesome responsibility. You know, we raised four children, and I can remember some very challenging times, if you will, as we tried to keep the family coordinated together. Think about God dealing with millions of people. How does he do it? You know, how does he do it without having to go to a shrink once a week? But God cares about us, doesn't he? He wants to have a relationship with us. He doesn't want our prayers to be hindered in any way. And I can just see him as he's sitting up there and, again, thinking of all the pressure that is upon him. And he looks down and he sees one of his dear children praying and coming before him. And not just praying, okay, God, here's my list. This is what I need this week. I need da-da-da-da-da-da. But someone who comes before God and gives him thanks for just who he is, who recognizes him for who he is, not for what he has done, but just for who he is. And as he sees that child giving thanks and being grateful, I can just see a smile come on his face, how it blesses his heart. How I'm blessed when I have opportunities now to sit down with my children. I remember not too long ago taking a ride with one of our children when they had come up to visit. And everybody else was in the back of the van sleeping. And one of my sons was sitting up front with me, keeping me awake. And he just started reminiscing about his childhood and growing up and some of the vacations we had. And I'll tell you, it brought a smile to my face. It blessed me. And how it must bless God when we take time to reminisce about his goodness towards us. The prayer of the upright pleases him. Look with me, if you would, back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. We need to have a clean heart, but we also need to have humility. Jesus here is speaking, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And he's challenging us concerning prayer. He says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Isn't that precious? Our Father knows what we need before we even ask him. But we need to come with humility because, you see, our desire is to have a clean, close relationship with God. It doesn't matter what the other people around me think. Some people will make sure, and what he's talking about here is what happened is the Pharisees would always have their great eloquent prayers in front of people trying to impress people. Listen to how much they know. Sometimes maybe you have heard people who do that. It's like they try to quote every scripture that they know in their prayer among the congregation. God is not impressed by how eloquent our prayer is or how much information we have that we can share. And our purpose of prayer is, again, to communicate, to speak to God. And to allow him to speak to us and to guide and direct us. So we're taught here, don't try to pray in such a way that's going to impress those that are around you. But with a humble heart, be willing to come to God and share with him. We need a clean heart. We need humility. We need consistency. You know, First Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 17 challenges us to pray continually. Pray continually. Now, obviously, this does not mean that one should spend the whole day on their knees without doing any work. However, it does mean that we should take every opportunity we can to spend time with God. You can pray all day long, can't you? Again, I have always strongly encouraged, but this is up to you, that when you are driving, you don't need to bow your head and close your eyes. God can hear our prayer, even with our eyes open. And that's something a lot of times we don't understand. God hears our prayer just as much if we're sitting in a car driving and we're taking that time to pray with him as he does when we're on our knees at home. I think it is important to spend time. I think that's something that's missing in a lot of our our churches today and even in our Christian lives is getting down on our knees and praying. Now, for some, it's easier to get down and pray than it is to get up afterwards. But the important point is we need to spend time on our knees because that's part of that humility. It's humbling ourselves before God. But we need to spend time to pray. It also means that we should not bring a petition to God once and then drop it. We need to continue to bring it before Him until He answers us, whether that answer be yes or no. So we pray with consistency. And lastly, we need to pray according to God's will, not our own will. Just like our own blessed Savior, who the night that He was betrayed, after they had gathered together, observed the Lord's Supper, Jesus went with His disciples to pray. And as He got down and on His knees in agony before the Father and poured His heart out, because He knew exactly what He was going to be going through, He prayed with such urgency that it says he prayed with drops of blood upon His forehead. But what did Jesus say? He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me," because He knew the suffering He was going to go through. He knew what He was about to face. He knew the agony that stood there right before Him. But as much as the human part of Him says, "I really don't want to go through with this," He prayed, "Not My will, but Thy will be done." And what a blessing it is when we in our own lives can get to such a point that we come before God and we pray and we urgently seek His guidance, we seek His direction, we seek His input. And then we say to Him, "God, not My will, but Your will be done." How that changes a life drastically. It's so easy today to get caught up with what I need. It's so easy to get caught up with the pressures of everyday life. And then we're constantly asking God for this blessing, that blessing, this, and this. But if we come before God and we say, "God, not My will, but Your will be done," it's exciting to see when a life is put into God's hands what God can do with that life. And you know what we find out? We find out that sacrifices that we might be asked to make, or changes in our schedules or lifestyles that we may be asked to make, are not things that we feel that we've lost. Rather, we see all that we have gained when we put our lives into God's hands. So we need to ask according to His will, not our will. Let me just share a few thoughts with you about how to pray. First of all, set a time. We can pray to the Lord at any time of the day, as we've already said, or night. As a matter of fact, one of the greatest resources a child of God has is what's called an ambulance prayer. Have you ever heard about an ambulance prayer? What an ambulance prayer is if you're going through your daily life, something happens, something drastic, an emergency, and you shoot that prayer up to God. You see, you don't have to wait to, again, get back to the church or get back to home. Wherever you are, you can just shoot that prayer up to God. And you know what? God never misses a fastball. Doesn't matter how quick you shoot that prayer up to Him, He receives it, doesn't He? The sad part is sometimes when we go through those emergencies and go through those struggles and we forget to pray. I always so many times feel like that guy on the V8 commercial. And I say, "I could have prayed," instead of, "I could have had a V8. How many times have we been in that position when something has happened and we try everything we can to get it to work out? And then we finally slow down and we say, "I could have prayed. That would have made things so much easier if I had just done that." You know, there are three kinds of prayers. Here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, we see the first one. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So the first type of prayer is asking. Scripture even says you don't receive because you don't ask. So we need to ask. There's two types of asking. The one many people are very good at, that's petitions. That's asking for ourselves. It's easy to say, God, I need this, I need this, I need that. But you know, there's another type that's much more important. I guess I can't say that. Our needs are important too. But we don't want to forget the needs of others. Look with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Again, I believe that if we as the body of Christ, as a family, would be praying for one another daily, if you would take your church list of those who attend here and pray over that list daily, or at least even weekly, I believe as we prayed for each other, we would see the power of God unleashed in even a greater way. But in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 21, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. When was the last time we prayed like that for one another? That we would be filled with all the fullness of God. That we would be filled with his presence. That we would be filled with his power. Let us pray for one another with such urgency, and then see what God will accomplish. Besides asking God, we need to praise God. Again, it's easy to sit down and make a list of things to ask God for, but when was the last time we really praised him? You know, we praise God because of who he is. That's where we need to begin. Not praising God because of all he has done. That's important. But I think the most important thing is to praise him just for who he is. That he is the Almighty God. He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He is Lord God, Jehovah. We need to praise him for who he is. Then we can praise him for what he has done. We need to praise him for his awesome greatness, his love, and for his faithfulness. We also praise God for all his blessings. Look with me back just a chapter to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one that he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. I love that. God lavished his grace upon us. When was the last time we praised God for all the blessings? We all have our different ailments. We all have our different challenges. And it's easy, again, to concentrate upon them because we feel them constantly. But how important it is to praise God for his blessings. You know, no matter how hard or how bad you feel, at least I know it works this way for me. No matter how bad I feel, no matter how down I might be, when I take my eyes off of myself and my problems and I start looking at all that God has blessed me with through the years that he's given me upon this earth, it all of a sudden makes things seem a lot different. I can be going through the same struggles. I can be in the same amount of pain. I can be having the same challenges. But you know what? Instead of concentrating upon that which is negative and will draw me down, I'm concentrating upon that which is positive and giving thanks to God. And you can't help but feel uplifted as you count your blessings. We need to sing that song every morning when we get up, right? And every night when we go to bed, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Do you thank him each day for your salvation? Do you thank him for the many other blessings that he has given to you? You know, maybe somebody here might say, well, I'm really not too sure what to thank God for, what to praise him for. Let me encourage you. Read the Psalms. You can't help but read the Psalms and find a lot of things there to praise God for. So maybe that's an encouragement for you to read some of them every night. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, through Jesus, therefore let us continually, notice that, continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise. The idea of sacrifice, when it comes to my mind, again, makes me think of what we were just talking about, is during the times I don't feel like praising God, the times that things are rough, the time things are tough, when things aren't quite going the way I'd like them to go, it's hard to praise God. But that's when we need to give him that sacrifice of praise. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, our scripture reading for this morning. We need to come to the throne of God with confidence. You know, the King James Version says, come boldly. The NIV says, come with confidence. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Or again, as the King James says, let us come boldly so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Are you struggling? Are you going through a hard time in your life right now? Do you say, boy, I could use some mercy. I could use some grace. Well, it says right here, come boldly or come with confidence before the throne of God. You're not going to get it if you don't come to God and ask for it, right? We need to come boldly. We need to come with confidence. And God will supply that grace and that mercy to meet our needs. But lastly, a third type of prayer is confession. We must be willing to acknowledge sin in our life and be willing to confess it before God in order to possess a clean heart, as we've already talked about. In John chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible tells us that if we will come before God and confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may be saying, I just don't feel that power in my life. I don't feel God's presence in my life right now. Maybe there is something in our heart that we need to deal with. But praise God. You see, that's a promise. It says, if we confess our sins. It doesn't say if we come to God and say, you know, God, I'm having a hard time right now. I could really feel your, I could really like having your arm around me. Or God, I really need this or I really need that. No, it says if we want to come before the throne of grace, and we need to come with that clean heart, and we need to confess our sins. And remember, sins are not always sins that we do, that we're guilty of doing. Many times there are sins of omission. A sin of omission is something that God has told us to do that we are not doing, such as praying, such as reading the scripture, such as loving one another, or not only one another, but scripture even says love our enemies. You see, there's sins of omission. If we aren't doing what God is telling us to do in his word, we're not going to be able to experience his presence and his power in our lives. But he promises us if we will confess, he will forgive. Isn't that great? That should excite you. It should bring a little bit of tingling. We have to acknowledge. If we do not confess our sin before God, then our communication with him is hindered. There is no way to get around it. It is hindered. You know, there's one thing I've noticed in our van. When you have the radio on, sounds great. Nice sound system and everything. But for some reason, I guess it's near the antenna, if you plug the charger for the cell phone in near the, because it's right there by the radio, all of a sudden, the station goes from being crystal clear to being very fuzzy. Because you see, there's a hindrance there. There's something blocking that signal from getting to the radio. And that's the same thing it is within our lives. Sin blocks our relationship, our signal from God. So we need to confess that, so that that communication is not hindered. Psalm 38 verse 18 says, I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Let me ask you this question in closing. Have you ever been troubled by your sin? Here the psalmist says, I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. What he's saying is that I don't just recognize I have a problem, but that troubles me. It bothers me because I know I am not what God wants me to be. I know I'm fudging his word. I know that I'm rationalizing his teachings. I know that I'm not doing what God wants me to do, and that troubles me because I want to please God with my life. Have you ever been troubled by your sin? If we recognize sin in our life, we need to confess it. We need to be troubled by it and give it over to God. Because the sad part is, if it goes too long that we recognize our sin and don't deal with it, our heart begins to grow cold. And we begin to lose the challenging from the Holy Spirit. That conviction, we lose that conviction because our heart just grows cold if we continue to ignore the Holy Spirit's prompting of sin in our life. So we don't want to do that. We want to confess it. We want to deal with it. And we want to move on so we can receive the blessings of God and be blessings to others. Let us bow together, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to join together here this morning. And Father, first of all, it is our earnest prayer that if there is just one that has not received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that, Lord, you would challenge their heart to give their life to you, to acknowledge their sin, to acknowledge their need for a Savior, and to receive the payment that Christ made for them upon the cross at Calvary. And Father, I would pray that you would be with each one here who does know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And Father, help us to take time to be receptive when the Holy Spirit tries to bring conviction to our life about sin. whether it be sins that we are doing or sins that we are omitting, things that we are omitting that become sin. Father, help us to be receptive to the convictions of your Holy Spirit, that as those sins are brought to mind, we might confess them, and that we might give them over to you, and Lord, we might just nail them to the cross, and that we might move on with victory to serve you in a mighty way. I want to encourage each one who is sitting here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe as we have been speaking this morning, as we've been looking into God's word, maybe God has touched your heart about something particular in your life. Maybe there's a habit you need to address. Maybe there's something you've been doing that's been taking a lot of time that God would rather you use that time in a different way. Maybe God has challenged you in one way or another. I encourage you, if you felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, give it over to God now. Say, God, here, I confess this sin. And Lord, by your grace, by your mercy, by your power, I ask for your forgiveness. And I ask for victory, that I might be all that I can be for the glory of God. Father, use us together. Use us individually. Use us as a body to truly make a difference for you, as we strive to reach out and touch this world with the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand together.